delighted to see this congregation here this evening. Very thankful to be here myself, and trust we have all come praying unto the Lord that He would grant us liberty and mind and thought and fill our hearts with His Spirit. We'd like to look at Galatians chapter 1, begin with the first verse. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me, unto the churches of Galatia, grace be unto you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. The Apostle Paul is writing to the churches of Galatia because there were those who had crept in and were trying to lead them back to intermingle some of the old law service, especially circumcision, in with the gospel church, and taking glory away from the Lord Jesus Christ. Whenever you trust in Jesus plus something else, you're taking glory away from the Lord. And I would hope that we all have come here tonight considering our home in heaven, that it is solely based upon what Jesus did and what he did alone. That it is complete. We are complete in him. It is a finished work. And when the last child of promise is born of the Holy Spirit of God from above, then there'll be a grand and glorious reunion as Jesus will come and gather his sheep. But until that time, we have the New Testament church, and the church has always been under assault and attack by Satan and his angels. And the Apostle Paul is writing here to help this church, give them argument after argument after argument that Jesus is sufficient, and that the Gentiles do not have to be circumcised in order for them to be complete, and that the New Testament church is something entirely different from the old way of worship, or the Old Testament, the law service. And Paul opens this up by saying, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. Hopefully everyone tonight can rightly divide that scripture. How many here tonight believe that as Paul writes, who raised him from the dead, has reference to the Apostle Paul? I had to sit and listen to a man in the first, the first church that I pastored. And these men had been coming to that church a number of years. And let me say this, it is good to have a variety of different ministers to come into the church and preach to you. I know sometimes there are men that, you know, have a standing appointment and they're there every year at that particular meeting, and they're invited back again. But I think it's very good to have a different ones to come in, but they'll teach the same truth, but they'll teach it in a different way. And let me just get sidetracked here a little bit. When my body started giving out on me, I decided I had better start using my brain instead of using my back and legs so much. I have two artificial prosthetic hips, and so I went back to school and obtained a accounting degree and so forth and so on. And now I I'm using my brain, not so much my back, and I forget how many, what I put on each year ever since I've been working. But at any rate, when I was in school, there was a young lady that sat next to me, and we were taking a class in finance. And I really enjoyed the teacher, and she was over there, and she was, I guess, in her late teens, early 20s, and she says, "Oh, I can't get anything out of him. He makes it's just too hard." And of course, I loved the professor. I was breezing right through it, and I said to myself, I said this to myself, remember, "Well, if you don't have it, you don't have it." Well, this professor went on vacation for 2 weeks, and he had an assistant professor. And this professor knew his stuff, but he just couldn't teach to me. I couldn't get anything out of him. I said, "I'm just going to have to just read it and just dig it out of the book myself, because this guy knows his stuff, but he definitely does not know how to teach. He's on this board, he's on that board." And she said, on the second week, she said, "Oh, I wish we had him all the time. He makes it so easy." So people receive in different ways of teaching and learning. And so that's why it is good to have different ministers to come in. They'll teach the same doctrine of election, resurrection, the new birth, but maybe it'll hit someone out there in the congregation a little bit more differently, and they respond to that individual. But here there was these men, they'd been coming there for years, and I was new as the new pastor, first church that I was serving. And he said, he preached an entire sermon how the Lord raised the Apostle Paul from the dead on the road to Damascus. And I thought, well, if a man can't divide any better than that, he needs to run down to Walmart and buy a $5 calculator. Because that does not have reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. That does not have reference to the Apostle Paul. That definitely has reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because it is God who raised him from the dead. That's who is under consideration, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Well, later on, I found out that this man did not believe in the resurrection of the body. Matter of fact, the previous pastor did not believe in the resurrection of the body. And I connected the two. No wonder he had to change that, see? Raised him from the dead. That was a proof text to prove that the body of the Lord Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. When you hear men speak and they begin to tinker around with proof texts that we have enjoyed and love and use, such as "Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated," and someone tries to describe that as the obedient child of God and the disobedient child of God and try to water down hate and so forth, more than likely you're dealing with a no-heller, because a no-heller can't get through Jacob in the ninth chapter of Romans unless he changes the meaning. And so the Apostle Paul is declaring here that, first of all, he's an apostle, because there are those questioning his apostleship even within that church. And he tells them how he became an apostle. He did not become an apostle through Peter and them. He was called to be an apostle by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He was an apostle. And he's not of man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father. And he later on explains this. And therefore, he strengthens this argument that, listen, I am an apostle of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There's men out here that preach the gospel, and I would say that Most every one of them can look back in a time. Maybe not their new birth, because many of God's children are born again of the Spirit in their younger years. But if you've been called to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, I would say that these men can look back to the time where there was a glorious revelation of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, which was to them and to them personally. Maybe they had believed in, they believed in God. They loved the Lord Jesus Christ. They've heard about His name. They may have even been baptized into the church of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But in the call to the ministry, there is a special revelation. There is a special call that God gives that man, and he remembers it. He loves it. He thrives on it. He goes back to it. The Apostle Paul went back to it time and time again as things were darker and darker in his life. He would describe this wonderful revelation that he had before kings. He would describe this wonderful revelation as he preached the glorious gospel of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So he says, I am apostle, not by man, but by Jesus Christ. And that ought to let us know this also. If any of the younger ministry comes in and starts throwing a degree or some, you know, where they've been or what they've learned before you, you better try to take them aside and instruct them in the way of the Lord. Better said, listen, in the house of the Lord, we don't care about degrees that men can give or how long you've been to some school or college. Why? They took notice of the apostles, that these were just common fishermen. And they took notice that they had been with Jesus. I'd rather hear a man that's been with Jesus any day than someone that's been down the road to some school and took some classes or on the internet. They'd been with Jesus. And so the Apostle Paul was saying, listen, I've been with Jesus. Jesus. Jesus revealed himself to me. I am an apostle, and I'm going to give you some instruction here. And he says, who raised him from the dead. That is God the Father. I'm an apostle by Jesus Christ, and God the Father who raised him. That him has reference to who? To Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. There are fewer and fewer people. Somebody says, oh, well, the United States is a Christian nation. We're over 50% are cremated now. I don't think that's too Christian to me. I don't think that's Christian. There's fewer and fewer people who believe in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and even fewer yet who believe in His resurrection, and even fewer yet who believe in the resurrection of their body. Maybe about 15% even believe in creation. The Bible. It's we have lived in wonderful times and very thankful for them. That Paul here is writing in a time where things were very turbulent in his life. He'd been beaten. He suffered many things for the cause of Christ. Men had taken a vow that they wouldn't eat until he was dead. I forget how many, that's about, I think 30 or 40 of them. Now, you know, you're talking about a posse after you. They wanted to do him in. And he says that the Lord Jesus Christ gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. That he might deliver us. I think you would agree that being born of the Spirit of God is a deliverance. Yeah. Being taken from a state of death and trespasses and sins to now have a life in Christ. For one time we were chained. And of course, if you read Ephesians 2, I mean, that resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, the power that was displayed there, it is connected to our new birth. As he arose, we arose with him. The Apostle Paul writes this church, and he is not alone. He has some brethren with him. He says, "And all the brethren which are with me." It's very dangerous for any of us to get to a place where we think that we're right on something and we're the only one. I mean, if you're the only one. Now, I do read, and if you remember, the Apostle Paul did say that at my first answer, no man stood with me, but the Lord stood with me. That according to the doctrine that we have, the Apostle Paul had brethren that stood with him. And we all need each other to stand and to support one another. He says, "And all the brethren that are with me unto the churches of Galatia, grace to you and peace." The Apostle Paul said that the Lord Jesus Christ gave himself for us. As I have stated before, we do live in marvelous times of prosperity. And we live in a country that we can worship God freely after the dictates of our own heart. We don't have to. I mean, it's just a wonderful, wonderful country. And there's so many people desiring to come and to live here. We're very thankful for it. And sometimes people think about, well, things growing dark and this and that. Well, you know, everything's relative. Everything's relative. And even here in the Apostle Paul, somebody's here and they say, well, I have my family and have my children, my grandchildren. We're reasonably healthy. Things could be worse. And the Apostle Paul here is talking about this present evil world. But the Apostle Paul had, with him, he'd been caught up to the third heaven.
Yeah.
And he was on the run most of the time. And he suffered. There wasn't any medical care much in that day and age. He'd been stoned. His eyesight was gone or fading fast. There's enemies within and without, and this world was something that chained him down. There's evil in it, and continues to be evil in this world. But he had this wonderful hope, this great faith, that as Jesus Christ loved him and gave himself for him, the Apostle Paul was going to one day take a journey and leave this world. But it was based upon what Jesus had done for him. What Jesus had done for him. And of course, as the Apostle Paul continues on throughout, he is so thankful to be living in that day and dispensation of the gospel. Now, in the book of Galatians, he describes two dispensations. He describes the law, and he describes the dispensation of faith. To the Corinthian brethren, he calls it the ministration of death and the ministration of righteousness. And it's very important for us to understand what the Apostle Paul is teaching here. I run into a number of people that think that, well, when people were saved one way up to a certain point, and then they were saved a different way, and Gentiles were saved this way until Jesus came, and now they're saved a different way for heaven, and so forth and so on. Paul makes this argument in Romans 5. He talks about the ministration of death. He talks about the law. And he says, listen, people were dying from Adam even up to Moses when there wasn't the law given to the Israelite people. Before the ministration of death, and oh, it was glorious. God wrote his law on those tables of stone. It was glorious. It was so glorious that the Israelites said, you know, speak to God for us. It was thunders and lightnings. The mountain was on fire, and it was angels, 10,000s of angels came down and was there in the giving of the law. It was glorious. But people had died before that great revelation of the law. You know, people were asking, well, why did they die? You know, people keep asking that. Somebody died. Well, what did they die of? You know? Was it COVID? No, what did they die? Was it a heart attack? Back in that day, I mean, before the law? Well, is it because of their race? Is it because of their, what's going on? Why do they die? Someone has a little child and that child dies. Paul says that there were those that died that had not sinned after the simulation of Adam's transgression, but they died. And they died without that law, the ministration of death had been given. What I want you to understand is that the law of God was in effect, but the Ten Commandments or the law revealed it, you might say. Gave an understanding. And when you read those and you understand that if you break one, you've broken them all. And the soul that sinneth shall die. No wonder Job says, how can a clean thing come out of an unclean? How can man be just before his maker? How can he be just before God? And so that giving the law gave a revelation or ministration of death. Let people know why they die. They sin. By one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men. For we all have sinned. You all understand that basic doctrine. But what I'm saying is that was happening even before the giving of the law.
Yeah.
Now that was, so that we have Adam, 2,500 years, or 2,500 years later, you have the giving of the law. And about 1,500 years later comes the ministration of righteousness. The ministration of the Spirit. You have faith. You have the coming of the Son of God into this world. Now I have met people that try to tell me that nobody was born again in the Spirit of God until Jesus Christ came into this world. You all don't believe that. When Jesus Christ came, and after he bled and died and rose again, and then the glory of the New Testament church, I mean, Jesus Christ set it up. The glory came on there after his resurrection, and it's been continuing ever since. That revelation, that wonderful good news, that faith, it just didn't begin when the Lord came here. People were being born again in the Old Testament. That's what I'm trying to say. Before it was revealed. Just like people were dying before the law revealed sin. You understand what I'm saying? People were being born again before Jesus came, and you had this grand revelation. The Apostle Paul, speaks of this over here in 2 Timothy. He says about God who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace which was given us in Jesus Christ before the world began, but is now made manifest. That's the law of faith and not of works. That's the ministration of righteousness and not the ministration of death. All the ministration of death, the giving of the Ten Commandments was glorious, but Paul argues, he argues adamantly that the ministration of life and righteousness in Jesus Christ is much more glorious than the ministration or the old law service. And hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel.
Yeah.
When you hear that Jesus paid it all, and you hear about that all that he died for will rise and be with him in glory, and you read that he won't lose one, and he begins with the same ones, or he ends with the same ones that he begins with, and won't be any sheep lost, and they're all safe and secure in him, and it's finished, and we're looking forward to being in that place where we'll never grow old and troubles never come and tears of sorrow are never shed.
Right.
And how by his blood and his grace he has saved us, not only from hell, but he saved us from this evil present world. This home, this world is not our home. And let me say that the closer you walk with God, the more this world will hate you. Somebody says, "Well, you know, Brother Jeff, I've never been persecuted for what I believe." I said, "You darling, all you need to do is open your mouth."
Yeah.
Open your mouth. I'll end with this. I've been in many different colleges there in Tennessee. And of course, when I meet students from the Middle East, I like to find out what they talk, what they believe, and how they get over here, and so forth and so on. And so in the lunchroom, halfway made a friend. You know, Bible says, "He that hath friends must show himself friendly." So, we would talk, and he'd tell me a little bit about Islam, and I'd listen. And I guess after about 2 weeks, he finally asked, he said, "What do you, what exactly do you believe?" And I told him, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And I believe that he's eternal and everlasting, and he's reigning on the right hand of God." And you could just see his expression from that warm smile that he always had, it just turned down. There was a hardness in his eyes. I'm so thankful that all you have to do is speak up. All you have to do is stand. There's three Hebrews that stood one time.
Yep.
They got in big trouble, didn't they? But they had one that stood with him. And that's, I guess, a comforting fact as we walk here below, and as we realize, as Paul wrote to Timothy, "Yea, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." Now, I'm not saying speak up just to, be persecuted. I'm not, but let's be like Peter said. He says, "Be ready to give an answer to those that would ask the reason of the hope that's in you." And when they do, say, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He loved me. That everything's necessary for my home in heaven, he secured there at the cross." That would even get you in trouble with some Christians, so-called Christians.
Yeah.
I mean, that's it. That's it. You don't have to believe. That'll get you in trouble. And but I've enjoyed my time before you this evening, and we're very thankful that Jesus came to this earth and that he has saved us from this present evil world. Thankful for the ministration of righteousness, of faith, of the Spirit that we have here in the New Testament church. Sometimes I hear my preacher brethren, my fellow servants in the Lord, and sometimes people get down and they'll say, well, you know, it just seemed like they weren't listening. It seemed like they weren't attentive. It seemed like they had the world or something else on their mind. And I said, well, don't lose heart. I said, could you imagine what those priests and those that served in the tabernacle had to put up with? At least you have born again people, for one thing. And secondly, you have the ministration of the Spirit, the ministration of righteousness, and not worshiping God under the ministration of the old law and death. Oh, we can be so thankful for the day that we currently live in.